You're listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
Hello, my friends. Great to see you guys this morning. So glad that you're tuning in to the Ranch Church, our virtual church service that we're having here. Boy, I loved Casey's worship. I love it every Sunday, and certainly got a chance to enjoy it with you right now. What a wonderful gift he is to the body of Christ and to us at the Ranch Church. I hope you were stoked with what you were experiencing. So this morning, right now, we're going to open up the Word of God. So go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And the title of this message is, Go Through the Storms and Get Close to God. You got that? That's going to be awesome. And you're going to love this passage. It's a wonderful passage. I want you to go in your Bibles, Matthew 14, verse 22. I'll read it to you in just a moment. But the title of this message is everything that we're going through, it applies to. Go through the storms. Don't go around the storms. Don't pretend that there's not a storm. Go through the storm and get close to God. We've just seen and heard some really interesting things from our governor about curtailing some activities. Listen, let's just set all of that aside. Let's focus on Jesus right in this moment. Let's turn to the Word of God. Let's focus on the things that can bring great power and strength and glory to Him. You're going to love this story. If you know your Bible much, then this is really familiar to you. If you don't, then click on Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. I'm going to read it one shot, and then I've got a series of bullet points that I want you to actually write down. Put them somewhere where you can see them. I think these things are going to be very important to you as you go through the week. Let me read this beautiful story from Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 is where I'm going to pick it up. The scripture says, Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. You're going to want to keep that in mind. I'm going to return to that point. Going on now, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountains by himself to pray. Now what's going on there is that Jesus has actually just heard about John the Baptist dying. That's a significant turning point in his ministry where he's understanding even more so the cross before him. Then he's not caught up in his own grief. He ministers to the 5,000 and he feeds them. Now he's dismissing 5,000 people after giving them the best meal service after church that's ever taken place. And now he's saying these things. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowds, and after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, It's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and was saying, Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered to him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, Come. And so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. That's a great story. That's a great story, but we're not done. Here's the rest of it. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, Truly, truly, you are the Son of God. Hey, friends, let's just pray as we get into the preaching and teaching of God's word this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for all of us that are listening and watching this, and I pray, God, that you would speak powerfully into their life, giving faith and hope. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Okay, you're at home. Say it out loud with me. Amen. There you go. Okay. Hey, so listen, we're talking about go through the storm and get close to God. Listen, I love the title of that message because when you think about it, it applies to the text beautifully. Some people, and this is a real issue for some people, and I want this to minister to you, and I want you to grab hold of the cross by the power of the resurrection. I want it to mean something to you. Some people go through the storm and they don't get close to God. But God has a different plan for you. As he has a different plan for me, has a different plan for our valley, has a different plan for our church. He wants you to go through the storm, the things we're experiencing right now, and get close to him. There is another side to that storm. And we're going to see that even in the text. But right now, we're going to experience godliness. We're going to go through the storm, and we're going to get close to God. And I love what is being talked about here in this story, because first and foremost, what I want you to write down, what I want you to know, is first and foremost, the first bullet point here, is that obedience brings God glory. Obedience brings God glory. Now, I want you to see in the scriptures here, I already gave you a little bit of context. Jesus has fed the 5,000, John the Baptist has died, and listen, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat. So in the story, getting into the boat was not the disciples' idea. At other times, you'll see that kind of behavior from them. You'll see them insisting on things from Jesus. But in this moment, Jesus actually gets them in the boat. And he knows exactly what's going to take place. He gets them in the boat. And so I want you to understand that obedience brings God glory. And sometimes you're going to be obedient to God, and it's going to take you right into the storm. And here's what I want you to know about boats. There are some boats that are not designed for the storm. And there are some boats that are designed actually to overcome the storm. And so you in Christ have been designed to actually overcome the storm, to actually go through the storm and to find yourself an abundant life on the other side. Obedience brings God glory. And so the disciples here experience that as they get into the boat. And Jesus has a promise to them that he's going to see them on the other side. Secondly, that I want you to understand as we walk through storms bringing God glory and bringing us close to God. Second bullet point that I want us to work through this morning and right now is that storms activate God's fullness. Storms, they do that. Storms actually activate God's fullness. Listen, if God has given a promise in his word, and he's given several promises, and he's given many promises to you, then that promise is actually going to be tested to see if it is true. And it will be true. And so storms actually activate God's fullness. I've got a great cross reference for you. You're going to love it. It's in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the scripture says, that speaking about God, that I will never leave you and never forsake you. Now, to myself personally, that actually really means a lot, because it was actually when I was a first believer and first gave my life to Christ, and some of the people that were working with me to disciple me actually took me to that verse from day one. And I remember writing it down even in a Bible study. I can remember actually writing it down. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. And I remember thinking that that's a supernatural concept. Everybody leaves everybody. Nothing works out in this lifetime, or so I thought. And that moment of my life as I gave my life to Christ. But Jesus is saying, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So here's what it says in the original text. In the original text, it literally says, I will no not leave you, I will no not forsake you. That's in the original context of the scriptures. I will no not leave you, I will no not forsake you. In other words, it's multiple negatives to tell you, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Storms, my friend, actually activate God's fullness. Storms do that. And so don't fear the circumstances we're in. There's a lot of people freaking out. As I mentioned in a previous teaching, we have to turn our panic into prayer and our worries into worship. And that's what we're doing even right here. I'm really proud of you for tuning in and listening and applying these things. Our storms will activate God's fullness. You will see, as you activate God's full promises, you're going to see them being fulfilled in the most beautiful and beautiful way. Third, that I want us to look at this morning as we look at this wonderful story that ends up with Peter walking on water, is that God sees through the storm. God sees through the storm. I think it's possible this might be, for this morning, one of the most comforting things to me, because the disciples, when you read this story, they didn't see Jesus, you know? But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And I have taken tours to Israel, and the winds on the lake can be rather dramatic, and they can actually cause problems. In fact, on the last tour, now about a year and a half ago or so, it was the first time it ever happened to me. We were actually going to get on the boat and go on the lake, and we couldn't because there was a storm. And what's fascinating is that I was on the other side of the lake, not by the dock. We're staying on the other side of the lake. And I'm looking at around. I'm going, there's no way this is going to work just fine. But my tour guide said, I want you to trust me. These people are experts. They know exactly what's going to happen. And there's a storm coming and we're not going to be safe on the waters. And so even in modern times, this kind of experience takes place. And so in terms of the tour, some of you guys were with us on that tour. And so we decided to do something else. We had the most fantastic time. But listen, God sees through the storm. God sees you in your storm right now. He sees you. He sees through the storm. Maybe you see, as the scripture says, through a glass darkly. Maybe you don't see him at all. Maybe you see him rather dimly. It doesn't matter. God sees you. He sees you right where you're at. He sees your circumstances. He knows everything that you're up against. I've been going in our community and meeting with business people, and everyone's stressed. And met with other officials, everyone's stressed. Listen, I'm telling you what I'm telling them, and that is God sees through the storm. He sees you, even when you don't yet see him. And fourth now, and I love this next principle, fourth is that God's timing serves a purpose. God's timing serves a purpose. And I would be with you when I'd say, I wish God had different kind of calendar than I do. And I wish God had a little different kind of clock than I do. But I'm here to tell you that I've lived long enough and I've been in the scriptures to know and see that God's timing actually serves a purpose that really brings him glory. You'll notice that the scripture talks about this fourth watch in the night. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. The fourth watch of the night is a fascinating concept in scripture. Basically, that's an old way of telling time, and it's kind of a group of time. And we understand it to be approximately 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And some people like to argue a little bit academically and say, well, it's 4 a.m., that's why it's the fourth watch of the night. Okay, whatever. If it's from 4 to 6, we get the principle. It's somewhere right before 6 a.m. in that early morning hour, God has chosen on more than one occasion in the scriptures to do some rather fantastic things. And what I want you to know is that that early morning hour, the prayer is rather simple. I'm sure just like your prayer, sometimes in the early morning hour are rather simple. When you read this story here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, Peter's cry when he's sinking is, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And so that prayer will work. That prayer of the heart, that prayer of authenticity, of sincerity, will always move the Father's heart. I want to give you a list of things that have happened in terms of the Bible in the fourth watch of the night. And they're actually rather fantastic when you work through them. For example, in Genesis chapter 32, verse 22, Jacob wrestled with God. He wrestled with God and he met God in a unique way and he was a new man. In Exodus chapter 14, Moses actually takes the Israelites, millions of people, and they cross the Red Sea as on dry land. That also was in the fourth watch of the night, just as Jacob was wrestling with God in the fourth watch of the night and became a new man. Again, this is all between approximately 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. I think what's really interesting is that it's at this hour that the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, the shepherds actually had the angels come and tell them about Jesus. And so in this early morning hour, from somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., the shepherds are out doing their thing, And they get this revelation that the Messiah has been born. This is the Christmas story. It's fantastic. And then moving on to Easter, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, in that fourth watch of the night, I'm in Matthew 28, 1 by way of reference, in that fourth watch of the night, I told you that the Christmas story came to the shepherds in that fourth watch of the night. In the fourth watch of the night again, Jesus is resurrected from the dead. That's powerful. There's just something spiritual and supernatural to getting up before planet Earth is doing its thing and meeting with God. And now in our story proper, in Matthew chapter 14 that we're looking at, Peter actually walks on water. And it's at this fourth watch of the night that Peter says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. And he does, and Peter actually walks on water. So now fifth that I want you to understand in terms of go through the storm and get close to God. I mean, go through it and get close to God. Fifth now in our principle, and I've only got one more for the moment. I want you to see this. This brings tremendous comfort to all of us. Fifth, storms must obey Jesus. Storms must obey Jesus. When you read this scripture here, you understand that the storms are not taking Jesus down. In fact, he's above them and he's walking over them. And he's going to take care of the disciples in the boat. He's going to take care of Peter, even though he got out of the boat and had a moment of bold faith and then a moment of little faith. He's going to take care of all of that. Jesus is above the storms. There's no wave in the physicality or even spirituality of this that could ever take Jesus down. Not then and not even now. Storms must obey Jesus. And then sixth and last, I just thought about how to say this, and so here's how I'm going to say it. Looking continually at Jesus will bring forth all the faith you need. Looking continually at Jesus will actually bring forth all the faith that you need. And Peter models it on both ways. And a lot of people are kind of hard on him. And we've taught in this recent time through 1 Peter and had a rediscovery of how beautiful a man Peter was and how beautiful a man he became and how an authentic follower of Jesus with all kinds of frailties and with all kinds of flaws. And yet God loved him in those flaws and God lifted him up in those flaws. And I want you to notice something here. Because Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. I want you to notice something. He did not impulsively do this. And in other words, in the scriptures here, we're not watching Peter just jumping out of the boat saying, Lord, save me. He actually talks to Jesus. He's outside the boat in the storm, and Jesus is on the water. And he knows that Jesus is his teacher, rabbi, as God in that moment. And he knows that he's been empowered by him to do the works of Christ. And so he says, Lord, command me to come to you. In other words, he's in a really humble spot. He's in an obedient spot. And the scripture says, yes, come on. And so Jesus says, invites him out there. And then he gets out there. And of course, he's going to be overwhelmed by the experience. He's walking on water in a storm. And he's with Jesus. The text says he looks around. And he begins to sink. Lord, save me. And Jesus grabs him. Looking continually at Jesus will bring forth all the faith you need. Looking at him will actually bring forth all the faith that you need. And Jesus saves Peter and he lifts him up. And of course he has this instruction. And I actually think this instruction is more for you and I than for him. Peter's wet. He's really wet. He's soaking wet. But for you and I, he says, I believe, to Peter, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You're already out of the boat. You're already hanging with me. It's okay to look around. Remember, he doesn't rebuke Jesus for looking around. Jesus says, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and they could do nothing but worship him and understand that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God. So my friends, go through the storm and get close to God. And at this moment, I'm gonna help you do that. I think right now, as I've been talking with people, people really need to understand how to grab a hold of a genuine and abiding faith in Jesus Christ. There's a need to actually pray and actually invite Christ to be the center focus of someone's life. And there's a need to abide in that. That's a biblical term, which means to remain in that. And so to be strong in that. And at this moment, I want us to understand a few things. First, that God actually loves you. He does. And you'll notice that in the story that we looked at this morning, the negative circumstances of the storm were not caused by sin. They were actually caused by obedience. And so God loves you. And sometimes our storms are because we're being obedient. Second, it is true that our sin nature can really trip us up. And sometimes even when we have storms. And if you don't understand sin, that is simply a very real a way of saying there's something wrong with you and there's something wrong with the human race, and we actually have a debt against God. And the beautiful news about that is that God came to actually remove that debt and remove that sin and actually give us a new life. And that is through the person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and wants to give us that new life. And so I'm asking you right now to place your faith in Jesus Christ and to allow him to come into your life and do miracles. I mean miracles. I mean walking on water miracles. Some of you need to walk on water, and Jesus Christ right now is inviting you to walk on water with your finances, with your family, with your business, and some of you even with your health, and Jesus Christ is up to the task. I want you to place your faith in Jesus Christ right now. So I'm going to pray. I want you to agree with me in prayer, and I want you to let me know and give me and let me know even on the program that you're watching. Okay, pray with me. I'm going to invite Jesus Christ in our lives. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask right now that you would speak to the people that are listening and that their hearts would be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit and that you would come in. I pray that you would become the center of their life, what is dominant in their life, the truth of their life, the sweetness of their life, and the goodness of their life. I pray the Holy Spirit to encircle them. I pray for little faith now to be abundant and abiding faith. And I pray for ignorance to go away and wisdom to come. I pray for a lack of obedience to go away and a true, genuine, loving, abiding obedience to come. And I pray now, God, that you would do miracles in their lives. And so speak to everyone right now and do this in Jesus' name. Can you say it out loud with me right now at home? Can you say it? Amen. So great to be with you here as we're doing this church service virtual. Love you all very much. We're going to get through this in the most beautiful way. We'll continue to do a number of things to bring more and more gospel ministry to you and show you all the great opportunities there are to serve the Lord. If you like, I'd ask you to forward this to many people who don't know Jesus Christ or even those who do it in order to encourage them. And let's just take this opportunity to spread the love of Christ all over the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you and love you with all of my heart. Amen. Hey friends, thanks for watching our first Ranch Church virtual service. And we've had a lot of excitement in bringing that kind of ministry to you and the San Luis Valley, and hopefully even way, way beyond. At this moment, we want to give some instructions on how to enjoy tithes and offering. And so this is my phone. It's never been easier. My lovely family right there. And I'll just swipe it and I will find myself into my other apps that I have here. You're going to notice right about there that I have the Ranch Church app already loaded, but you can download it at the App Store if you need to. Now I'm going to tap on the Ranch Church. Okay, it's not working, so we're going to do it. There you go. There you go. There you go. Okay, now it's fired up. Now it's fired up. Now I'm going to scroll down. Now I'm going to scroll down and I'm going to find, where am I going to find? I'm going to find giving, and it's a tile right there that looks like giving. And now I'm gonna tap on giving. Let's see if it works. Let's see if it works. And it does. And so now the page looks something like that. Really very simple. And I'll just tap a number right here. And as an example, any amount. And then of course you just finish the transaction and off you go. So that's how you can participate in tithes and offering with the Ranch Church even at this time. Praying God's blessing upon your life, abundance to you, and abundance to his church. And let me pray right now and thank you for participating in tithes and offerings. Lord Jesus, I pray blessing on my friends. I pray beautiful, beautiful waves of abundance. I pray that you'd sustain us all, even at this hour. I pray you'd be pleased with all that we say and do, and even as we participate now in tithes and offerings. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Love you all very much. Thank you. Thank you so much. See you real soon.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.